Let's open with a prayer. Gracious God, where two or three are gathered, you are with them. Be with us now, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations in our hearts be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I forget exactly when Pastor asked me to lead worship today. It was maybe April, maybe May, probably May. But I do remember I was up at our lake house in Fort Sanilac doing springtime chores. I remember it was a Tuesday because I had my weekly Zoom call with the prayer group people, and then after that we have a discussion group for the seedbed devotional that we're in. We were discussing the Holy Spirit in seedbed, and as I recall driving the hour and three quarters back to town, preparing a sermon on the Holy Spirit. And it was a great sermon. That said, you might have noticed that the words Holy Spirit do not appear in today's reading. And as we learned last week when Pastor Anna was here, as her seminary teacher said, the reading is supposed to be talked about in the sermon, which is probably a good thing for you folks because I don't think I could have done it in less than 45 minutes. So, which brings us to the first topic we got, fear and worry. When I got this reading from Jan, I read it, and my first thoughts were along the line of, which topic do I do? There's fear and worry, treasure in your heart, that's in there also, or being prepared. So I put it down for about a week, prayed about it during this time, then decided I needed to read a few commentaries from pastors and seminary teachers about the reading. For those that stuck to the topic, and there were a couple that didn't seem to want to do that, it came down to a fear of tackling all three at the same time. In fact, one of the seminary professors even said that. He said he didn't want to tackle all three subjects at the same time. Obviously, the professionals were scared of hitting all three of these topics. Since I'm not a professional, we'll be touching on all three. We will not let fear win today's battle. The first thing to notice is in verses 32 to 34, and let me read that for you real quick. It says, right at the beginning of our reading, "Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights in giving you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need." There's probably a phrase in that section that might scare you. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. That's kind of a challenging one. There are other translations of the Bible which are a little bit more stricter. They say, sell all your possessions and give to those in need. But we need to look at what's around this verse first. And let me read to you what comes before that. It's in a section of the Bible called Do Not Worry. And these are stories that you might have heard already. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have nor storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?'" And then it continues on in verse 27. It says, "Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart upon what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Now comes the line in our reading that says, do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights in giving you the kingdom. I think context is important here. If we just take the single line from our reading, it doesn't tell us a lot. But putting it in the context of what comes before it, then we have what that line is all about not worrying. It's about do not being worried. So the first line of today's reading is actually the end of a much longer reading. And I think we can be honest with each other and say that we all have worries and we're all scared of something. Even though we don't want to worry about something or someone, we still do. Even if we do what we're supposed to do and turn the worry or fear over to God, we usually take it back from God because he wasn't fast enough in helping us with whatever the problem is. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, but I've turned my problem over to God, and then, an hour later, God hasn't fixed it yet. Well, maybe this is where patience would come in. Maybe that's where we need to learn patience. And I know there are some people that are not really good at patiently waiting. Let's look at our second point. It begins in verse 34 where it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be too. I suspect we've probably all heard multiple sermons about that in the past. The key word here, I think, is treasure. But I wonder if possessions might actually be a better word. I don't know what the ancient Greek is. I did not look it up to see what they think it is. But to me, when I think of treasure, I think of gold, silver, jewels, buried treasure, pirates type stuff. When I hear the word treasure, that's what I think of. So that's why possessions to me is a little bit better word for this verse. What we have accumulated in life, be it money, property, things, what would seem to be more distracting in our walk with Jesus would be that type of thing. And maybe it's a distraction if it's not used in the right purposes. Because what we may think of as a distraction might actually be helpful to somebody else. If whatever we have is used to bring glory to God and to Jesus, I'm not so sure it's a distraction. That leads us into the last section of our reading about being prepared. Obviously, I didn't have all my ingredients for the children's sermon. I still wonder where my orange peel went because I know I had it. Probably 6 years old, probably got thrown out. But we need to be prepared. We need to think about being prepared. A couple weeks ago, the church seedbed discussion was having a discussion on being prepared. Coincidentally, it was just as I was preparing this section of the reading. So that kind of told me at that point that maybe God was saying, yeah, I want you to focus a little bit more on being prepared. It would seem to me also that the first part of this reading on worry and the last part of this reading on being prepared, they kind of go together. Because if you're prepared for something, you're probably not going to worry about it as much. So I have a question for you. And this is the exercise portion of the sermon. How many of you, when you plan a trip, like to plan it out to every last little detail? Raise your hand. When you plan a trip, you like every detail planned out, every night you're staying, every place you're going, every whatever. Okay, we got a few. Okay. And for other people, do you prefer just to say, oh, I'm going to go somewhere and that's it? Is that your preference? You don't plan along the way? Boy, you guys are better than I am. Before I got married to Marie, I used to do a yearly trip with my friend Bob, who lives in Minnesota. We met when we worked together at a college in Iowa. And we usually categorized our trips as two old guys traveling. That's what we called it. I like to tell him that since he graduated high school the year I was born, he's a little older than I am. And I kind of let him that know too many times. But we are similar types when we come to traveling. We both like the same types of things. We both have the same interests. We're both fairly structured in the sense that when we plan our trips, we usually pick our destination first. Then once we've got our destination, which one of the trips was to go to Key West, and we decided on Key West because we said, you ever been to Key West? No. We should go. So then we figured out how we were going to get to Key West. So and we figured out all the little things along the way that you could see. AAA books are very good for that. Internet works good for that. Do they still do AAA books? I don't remember. I heard a rumor that I don't think they do them anymore. But you've got the internet that you can plan a route. We pretty much knew every night where we were going to stay. Might not have had the reservations if it was a big city, but if it was a small city, no, we made sure we had reservations. We're fairly structured people in that sense. Some of the places we went were Key West, went to Glacier National Park, Nova Scotia, Yellowstone, British Columbia. And like I say, the internet helped us to figure out what was along the way. Now, occasionally we got surprised with stuff that we didn't know exist. When you've got two computer people who are geeks, who pretty much know what every mile marker on the road is, we came across a couple surprises. The first one was when we were going to Nova Scotia, and we got around Quebec. And if those of you who've been in Canada around Quebec know that it's French. We don't speak French. We were driving along the road, and we saw this road sign that, based upon our interpretation of the road sign, it sounded like it said, Visitor Center, Hydroelectric Dam. Two old guys, geeks, traveling? How can you turn down a visitor center? Even if we can't read the sign, at least we said, we got to check this out. So we did. Wonderful stop. We had no clue it existed. But it was a wonderful stop. We probably spent 2.5 hours there, which for us was unheard of. But we had a good time. So another place we stopped along the way, this was on a different trip. This is coming back from Glacier National Park. Up in North Dakota, there are missile silos. You know, you can take a tour of a missile silo, but you got to reserve it about 6 months ahead of time because they only take down like 16 people at a time because there's not that much space in a missile silo for you to go down the elevators and stuff. So we had reservations for the missile silo tour, which was fun. You know, it's how often you get to tour a missile silo. And then we came out of there and we're going along the road and we came across the sign a few miles later that said, Geographical Center of North America, 10 miles north. Two old guys traveling. How are you going to turn down the Geographical Center of North America? And there's a monument there. So we changed our plan, and we got off the road. I think it was more than 10 miles, actually. But it was those types of things. You saw the sign. We changed our plans because we saw the sign. At least it was in English, we could read it. The important thing here is that we altered our plans upon something we saw along the way. I'm not going to say the Holy Spirit was in those plans. I don't know. Maybe it was. I don't know. But the key was that we changed upon what we found. There was another trip that Bob and I took to Florida. We took Marie and my mom along on this one. We went down to see the final launch of the space shuttle. How often do you get to see that? We even had tickets. It got postponed. So we didn't see the final launch of the space shuttle, but The thing to point about that was we were able to do the trip. I think Maria is still recovering from the trip because traveling with two old guys is not one of her ideas of fun. So we prepared for the trips. We were open to other possibilities. The reading today talks about the master of the house coming home, and only some of the servants were prepared for him to return. For those who were ready, the master gathered them up, served them at the table. The reading ends with the encouragement to be prepared because we never know when Jesus is coming. We tend to think of that as Jesus coming back at the second coming, or the other possibility is when we die and we meet Jesus. That's generally the way we think of that, meeting Jesus. But I'd like for you to consider another possibility. What if Jesus is amongst us now and is sending us on a mission to help someone else? Ponder this. Have there been times in your life where you've had everything all planned out and suddenly the plans changed? Maybe you had this feeling that you needed to do something or go somewhere. What if the Holy Spirit was in that change of plans and was prodding us into action? What if being prepared means to meet Jesus today, here at church, or maybe afterwards at lunch, and to be available to work out something to aid someone else? I had an experience after my second hip operation, which I believe illustrates that. And it was probably about 7 years ago now, maybe eight, give or take, when I had my second hip surgery, and of course you have to do therapy after that. One of the things that I liked to do was go over to the Older Persons Commission in Rochester and go to their therapy pool. It's like a big, giant hot tub. I think it's wonderful. Okay? So you go there and you work on whatever exercise you need to be doing to work it out, you know, to build the muscles and whatever. So after the operation, I was sitting at home. I want to say it was February time frame. Snowing like crazy outside. I get this feeling that I need to go to the therapy pool. I look out the door wall and say, why would I want to go outside in a raging blizzard? No, we're not going to do that. So I'm sitting on a sofa, probably fell asleep, knowing me. Woke up a little bit later, and I got this prompting. I need to go to the therapy pool to get exercise. And I'm thinking, no, I don't. Look outside, it's still snowing. We've got another inch of snow on the ground at this point, and you don't really want to go outside in that. So I said no. A little bit later, up came again. I need to go to the therapy pool. Okay, if I'm told something three times, I can probably sit back and say, you know, maybe I need to go to the therapy pool. Maybe I should do this. So I got my boots on, got my winter clothes on, packed my bathing suit and my towel, drove through the raging blizzard to the Older Persons Commission and the therapy pool, got there, and of course it's a blizzard, nobody's there. So I got this giant pool to myself. I'm happy. This is great. Okay? So I go down to the deep end, you know, because I don't want to touch the bottom, you know, because if I'm doing my exercises on my hips, I don't want to touch the bottom, so I'm in the deep end. So I'm probably there for 5 minutes, and I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see anything. And I can tell there's movement coming out of the locker rooms ahead. And I thought, okay, what other idiots out here in the raging snowstorm to go to the therapy pool? So this lady comes into the pool, and I thought, well, the pool's big enough. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to be here. I want to be alone. That's it. Do my exercises. I don't know why I'm here anyway. So this lady, since I don't have my glasses, by the time she got within 5 feet of me, I could see she was a lady. And she comes out there, comes all the way to the deep end. I mean, who comes all the way to the deep end of the pool when you've got the whole pool to yourself and there's one person out there at the deep end? Okay, just me. And she says, hi. I said, hello. She said, it's cold outside. And I said, yeah, it is. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm done. I don't know. Then she says, I'm scared. Who comes up to a total stranger and says, I'm scared? And I thought, okay, what are you scared of? And she says, I'm going to have a hip operation next week, and I'm scared. And all of a sudden, now I know why I'm going out in a raging snowstorm to go to the therapy pool, because somebody else needs help. So we spent, probably way too long because I was way wrinkled after I got out of there, stating that we talked about what the surgery is like, what your recovery is like, how do you do it, and what you got to do. And you could tell at that point that I was supposed to be there. The Holy Spirit was pounding into my brain 3 times that I needed to go to the therapy pool, and it was for someone else. So that's why I think it's important for us to remember that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are with us now. And sometimes we need to listen for that still small voice that says, get up, go to the pool, even though you may not want to. We got to listen for those promptings. Christ is with us now, and we are very slowly being transformed into his image. This church, and all of us in this room and online, are on a journey. And we need to listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit to guide us along that path to where we need to be going. I wish I could stand here right now and have that answer for you on where we're going. I don't know. That's why we need to listen for the Spirit. We need to focus on prayer. We need to listen for the prodding of Jesus to move us in that direction. Jesus is with us, and he's changing us into the image of himself. And maybe we need to be open for Jesus to take us out into that blizzard to help someone else. I'd like to close with a prayer. Let's pray. Father, our hearts are on a journey. We are learning to let go of our best laid plans and instead to allow the Holy Spirit to train us in a life of being prepared. We want to be flexible, maybe adventurous, but are scared to do that. As long as you are with us, we don't need to fear the unknown and to dread the unexpected. Holy Spirit, prepare us for the future. Prepare the way for us to know Jesus more and better. That's the goal. Praying in Jesus' name, amen.